Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to see you. Last week, Liz introduced the new series that we're looking at, which is about Jesus and women. So we've got another six or so sessions on this subject, and we're going to take a different passage from the Gospels next six sessions. But basically, what Liz was saying was that Jesus lifts the status of women. I mean, it couldn't have been much worse at the time of Jesus. A religious Jew every day would thank God for two things. First, that he wasn't a Gentile, that's a non-Jew. The second thing, that he wasn't a woman. In the Middle East, dogs are not regarded very highly in the animal kingdom. The amazing thing was that women were kind of seen on a level of dogs. So that was the situation. Recently we've been looking at the subject of restoration, how God wants to restore us to our rightful position. This is so true for women as well. And through the life of Jesus, he again and again elevated the position of women so that women, like all people, were all the same. In fact, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, male or female, but actually, in God's sight, we're all one in Christ. And it's not just women. God raises the despised, the rejected, those who are not, and gives them an equal status with anybody else. And that's one of the wonderful features of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, so we are looking at John chapter 4 today, and I want to bring some points out for us. This morning, Mark's just read the passage. The first thing I want to bring to our attention is that Jesus had to go through Samaria. This is probably going to go on and off. No. He had to go through Samaria. Now, for a Jew to go through Samaria in the land of Israel, that would be was a despised region. It was full of people who weren't thoroughbreds, if you like, pure Jews. Oh, thanks. Should I turn this off? Right. I'd like to really derobe myself. Yeah, it was full of non-true Jews. And they would consider it an unclean thing to have to go through Samaria. So if you were wealthy, what you'd do, you'd hire a caravan of camels to take you round so that you didn't have to go through Samaria. But the thing is, Jesus, two things. First of all, Jesus wasn't prejudiced, and he considered all people of equal importance. But he was poor. And the interesting thing was that we read in the Gospels that it was wealthy women who supported Jesus through his ministry. But anyway, he had to go through Samaria. He had to go that way. He needed to leave Judea and go and preach in Galilee for various reasons. And I just wonder this idea where it says he had to do that. In our lives, there are things that we have to do. And when you say, oh, I've got to do that, it implies a negativity to it, doesn't it? Oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do the other. And in our lives, we have things that we don't want to do, but we've got to do them. But the thing about this situation was Jesus had to do this. He had to go through Samaria. But waiting for him was a great opportunity to change someone's life, and in fact the lives of a whole town. And I just wonder about you today. Are there things in your life that you're saying, in fact, it's probably tomorrow, I've got to do this or I've got to do the other, and I really don't want to do that? I think about in my own life, most of us have to do this, and I still have to do this, still have to go to work. Because if I don't go to work, I don't earn the money, and I can't do the things that I want to do. But those things that we have to do, that often we don't want to do, carry within them opportunities. And we're the poorer for not going through those experiences. Many times when I've been in schools, which is one of my jobs, I've had so many opportunities to talk to people about God. And it provides me with a framework of discipline that affects the rest of my life as well. But I just wonder this morning, some of us here, there are things that you're facing. And it may be work, it may be other things that you just have to do. I bet there are some things tomorrow, some things this week, and you're not really looking forward to them. And when we have things like that, we despise them. And we say they're of no value. But there are opportunities within those. I believe God has opportunities for you this week in the things that you've got to do, but that you don't want to do. And I want to challenge you to change your thinking on it, and to ask God, first of all, for grace for those things that you've got to do, and for God to lead you and show you things that can happen, opportunities that can take place on those occasions. So that's my first point. Jesus had to go through Samaria. The next thing we see in verse 6, it says Jesus was tired from the journey. Now, in this Gospel of John, there are two things that come out. And one is how exalted Jesus is. He's seen as God's son. And very early on in John's Gospel, we read about the Word that became flesh. Jesus existed before time, and he became a human being, God becoming a human being. So we see that Jesus is fully God. But in the same gospel, we read that he gets tired. We have the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept, so he gets emotional. And he's very, very human. And the thing about this is that he understands where you're at this morning, whatever situation you're going through or you're experiencing at the moment. Irene alluded to the fact that some people may be going through hard times, and we do from time to time. But the thing about our God and the thing about Jesus is that because he's completely human, he understands where you're at. He understands how you feel right now. But the thing is, because he's also God, he can do something about it. By the power of his Spirit, he can come into your life and lift you from the situation, the state, the potentially low state that you're in right now. So how are you this morning? Well, look, if you're not too good, I want you to be encouraged, because Jesus has been there. He knows what it's like. He's totally human, but he's also totally God, and he has the power to change your mourning to gladness. So he was tired from the journey. And then it says it was about noon when he had this encounter with this woman. Now, another theme of John's gospel is light compared to darkness. And later on in this gospel, it's, sorry, not later on, early on in the gospel actually, it says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. So there's this idea of light and darkness. And I remember, do you remember my Liz when she was sharing about when she went to the Yemen and she had an attack, if you like. There was some demonic force that really got into her. And when she woke up in the morning, it was terrible darkness. She felt so bad. She stopped eating. She felt suicidal. And she stayed like that for some time. And it was in the day. And she said that it was at night that she started to get some relief. But here, Jesus is, it's in the day that Jesus is bringing change for good. He's bringing light. Interestingly, I don't know if you know Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. I don't particularly. However, I do know this, that it's during the day when bad things happen. I don't know about you, but I come home sometimes from work, I think, I wonder what's happened today. You know, our days are full of, often, usually, bad news, aren't they, in our world. But in Romeo and Juliet, it's in the heat of the day that the Montagues and the Capulets wage war. It's in the day Romeo accidentally kills Tybalt, and that also he's banished. And actually, the nights are best. That's when Romeo first meets his lover. He gazes at her on the balcony and plucks up courage to talk to her. And but Jesus comes along, and in the day when bad things can happen, in the middle of the day, at the brightest point of the day, that's where he meets this woman and changes her life, probably for good. And the point I want to make about this is that if you know God and if you know Jesus, then he is a God who loves to reverse the order and put things right. He loves to put women back in the right place, equal with men. He loves to put a refugee who's regarded as nothing and give them hope and give them a new life. And I just wonder in your life this morning if there are things that are not quite right, not quite the right place that they should be. Is there some area in your life where you say, well, do you know what? There's more darkness in my life than light. How would you describe how your situation in your life right now? Would you say that you're living in the light? That God's light is shining on you? That things are working out for you? Or would you say there's more darkness than light? Jesus said this. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so today, I'm going to, in a few minutes' time, I'm just going to pray for people who feel they're in darkness. And if you're in darkness, I believe that today a process can begin where God can bring light to your situation and life to you. If you're here and you're tired and you say, I'm going through this, I'm going through the other, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. If there are things that you're facing, that you're saying, well, I've got to do that, but I don't want to. You're in a situation in your life where you're facing things and really you've thrown off hope. You've abandoned any thought that there could be any good coming from this. I believe God has good for you, if you'll trust him, as Irene was saying. But I want to say about this encounter that it was really unlikely to ever have happened. Jesus had to go through Samaria, probably to, one of the things was he was escaping persecution from the Pharisees who'd heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than his cousin, John the Baptist. Or maybe to avoid conflict between his disciples and John's disciples. We're not fully sure, but he had to go there. But he'd probably rather have stayed in Judea. So he wasn't likely to have gone, but he did go. Now the woman, what about the woman? Well, women in that region and at that time, they would go and get water either first thing in the morning or last thing just before dusk when it was cool. And she went at noon. Why did she go at noon, middle of the day? Well, we read that she had 5 husbands previously and was living with another man at the time. It's likely that she was shunned by the other women, and they didn't want her with them. And so she would come at a time when she could go on her own, and nobody else would go with her. And perhaps also she just wanted to avoid people. She didn't want to be seen because she got a bit of a reputation. So anyway, there she is in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day. So it's unlikely that she would have met Jesus. And Jesus, as a teacher, a rabbi, would never actually talk to a woman in a public place. In fact, you're not meant to even set eyes on a woman. When we lived in the Middle East, in Jordan, that was a particular feature that I had to always watch, that I tried not to look women in the eye. You know, you can't help it if you're just walking down the street and stuff, but you have to sort of look away. And a Jewish man would be expected, if he was near a well and a woman was coming towards it, he would be expected to back off to at least 20 feet. That was the culture at the time, so that the woman could then come along. But she came anyway. She wanted this water, and there was an encounter. But it was most unlikely. Now, I want to say that Jesus wants to encounter, to engage with you, and to know you personally. To be a Christian is not to come to, church. It's not about reading a book, the Bible. Well, it involves that. But being a Christian is a relationship, an encounter with Jesus. Have you had one? And the thing about it is, you may say, well, you know, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm like. This woman certainly had a bit of a coloured background. But Jesus actually makes a beeline for the unlikely, for the not qualified, for those who are unworthy, for those perhaps who have disqualified themselves. So, you know, are you here today, and have you done things in your life? You say, I don't know why I'm here, to be honest. I feel like going out of the door because I'm not fit for this. Any thought of God? God wouldn't want me. But actually, this woman, and someone who's despised, considered like a dog, a Samaritan, unclean, not a proper Jew. This is exactly the sort of person that Jesus wants. And he wants a relationship with that person. So you can't disqualify yourself for any such reason, because I'm exactly the sort of person that Jesus wants to know. So many factors conspire to make this encounter unlikely. What a coincidence. Someone said this. I don't know if you agree with this. The most important things in life happen by coincidence. Do you think that's true? Thinking about myself, I think when I actually became a Christian, I had nothing to do with God. And I got posted in the Air Force to RAF Cosford, and I was in an 18-man billet, and I just happened to hear at the one night someone called Steve, who became my friend, and he was sharing with somebody, who said to a couple of other guys down the bottom of the billet, he said, do you know you can know God personally in your own life? And I don't think they were that interested, but I overheard it and I started looking, and I looked into it, and I came to the point where I I said, God, I don't know if you're there or not. Show yourself to me. God did show himself to me. And so back in November 1978, I said, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me my sins. But what a coincidence. I just happened to be there, RAF Cosford, in an 18-man billet. On that night, he said that, and I followed that through. And I eventually became a Christian. And you know what? That one thing has completely and utterly changed my life for the better. And the other coincidence was, then I got posted to RAF Waddington in Lincoln and started going to local church. Met Liz, my wife, by chance. Just happened to be there. Coincidence. The most important things in life happen by coincidence, do they? But you may be here today and you may be saying, well, do you know what? All my lucky breaks. I've had all my lucky breaks. A bit like this woman. You know, this woman. Well, I've had five husbands. They've not worked. And I'm on my sixth. That's not going too well. Well, I don't know if it was or not. That's just me. Poetic license. But you could be here today and you're saying, I think my lucky breaks are up. Why would God want to help me? And that's the situation of this woman. But that's exactly the person that Jesus makes beeline for. And he's interested and he wants to engage with that person. So if you're in any of those categories, if you're ordinary, if you're a woman, if you're... Don't think much to yourself. If you think, my luck's out really in life, or there's not a lot to look forward to, I want to tell you, you qualify for what Jesus gave to this woman this morning. So do you want to know him? Do you know him? Have you known him? And have you gone away? And do you want to know him? Do you want to be back with him? Just one other thing. This lady, she meets Jesus on her tod. I was thinking about this. In the middle of this, just away from the town, probably it's a deserty sort of situation. In the full light of day, all there is Jesus and this woman. And he makes a relationship with this woman. And it makes me think, you know, about what it means to be a Christian. That why do you come to church? How did you get involved with Christianity and this stuff? Was it through a friend? Was it through your husband, through your wife? But the thing is, there comes a point where you have to be on your own experiencing Jesus Christ. And you can't be a Christian through your wife. You can't be a Christian through your husband. You can't be a Christian through the church. You, on your own, there comes a point where Jesus becomes real in your experience. Has that happened to you? Or are you living your Christianity through someone else? Today is a day, amongst any day, but today can be the day where you find Jesus for yourself. He is the gift of God for you. She encounters Jesus on her own. I probably just have time for just one other thing. She encounters Jesus on her own. And Jesus speaks to this woman. He doesn't back off. There was just something I would love to say, and then we're going to pray. Because it's on my heart very much. I really want to witness to people, but I don't find it that easy. Does anybody relate to that? I was driving in today past Morrison's, and there's a car boot sale there. And what bothered me was not that there was, you know, selling things on a Sunday and doing all that sort of... One day's as good as another, in a way. But the thought was, those people, probably most of them, haven't found Jesus. They've not found the gift of God. And I've been thinking, you know, how can I witness to people in a, you know, if you do that and you feel you're being kind of holier than thou, or you're telling people something and you feel almost like you're talking down to people, or you feel that they think you're talking down to them. How can we witness in a way that is non-threatening and is a good way of doing it? And Jesus shows us here. And the thing that he does is, of course, he asks her for help. He needs her services. His disciples have legged it into the local town, Sychar, to get some stuff. And he's there on his own, tired as he is, wants a drink. But he asks the woman for help. Asks someone who is not regarded, and a Samaritan and all that sort of thing, for a drink. He doesn't start by telling her how she needs his help or how he can sort her out. We build bridges into people's lives by revealing our needs and allowing people to meet those needs. I've been redoing my garage and trying to put a new roof on. And one day I was up there, and you know, it's a bit late at night and the light was going, and I was putting this board up, this fascia board, and I was all wriggling around. I was falling off my ladder and getting back on again, and Roy across the road suddenly comes out. I said, "All right, mate." And "All right, ooey," he calls me. And he said, "Oh, yeah, I can do that." I said, "Oh, thanks, Roy. Oh, that's great." And he was, and I just thought, then I thought, that's great. You know, he's helping me out and building a relationship with this person. Now, Nicky Gumbel, you know, the founder of Alpha and all that sort of stuff, he says that we like, as people, don't we? This is true, I think, that we like to trump our own strengths and successes. But we actually build relationships through being vulnerable and sharing our failings and weaknesses. As soon as somebody starts revealing something about a need they have, vulnerability and so on, it draws me to them. So I just throw that out as a something that's from this passage, which I think is really helpful from Jesus, that he asked this woman to help her. And then I've been having someone do my drive, and he's a lovely young lad, works for North East Lincolnshire Council. And I've been trying to build a bit of a relationship with him. One of the things that I do that really does go against the grain is I give him extra money. I'm just saying, "Oh, you're really doing a good job." He's messed it up twice. I'm really annoyed. And I thought, "I'm giving you extra," so I had to hold myself back. But the thing is, I think I made the point that, look, I really value you. I value you. And look, just before you go, I want to tell you my testimony, tell you what happened to me, how I became a Christian. And I did. And I was so chuffed. But it sort of came out of the fact that I showed that I valued him, and I showed it in a practical way. Okay, so this woman, the story goes on, and this woman eventually goes and she tells others, and half of the town become Christians. And she receives living water in her life. And I just want to pray. So I just wonder if the worship team, I'm not going to go any further, the worship team could come out. And I'd like us just to pray and ask God. And what I'd like to pray is for anybody here this morning who is saying, "Well, I've got to do this in my life. There are things in my life that I have to do. I don't really want to do that. If there was something out another way, I would do that. But there are things in my life that I have to do, and they're not particularly nice, and there's no benefit in it to me. I just want to pray for you. And then if there are people here who are tired or relating to what Irene said, people going through difficult situations in your life. And then if there are people here who your life is more darkness than it's light, and there are things in your life that need righting, things that are the wrong way around, things that are not working as they should do in your life, and you know what those things are, then I want to pray for you as well. And also, I just want to say as well, do you know Jesus? Have you met him? On your own, not through another person. Have you met Jesus on your own? Have you encountered him? And has he turned your darkness to light? That's the most important thing, in my opinion, that can happen to a person is to find that relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to pray for you as well. So I just wonder, would you like to stretch your legs if you can and stand? And what I'd like you to do is, if you say, Lord, I want you, I feel tired, I want you to renew my strength, I'd like you to put your hands out in front of you this morning. If you're saying, I want to know Jesus. Lord Jesus, I want that encounter. I want to know you in my life. Put your hands out in front of you. Whatever it may be that you would ask God for this morning, put your hands out in front of you to receive from him.